When drummer Bobby Previtt left his home in Buffalo, New York, to come to Manhattan in 1980, he believed it was either time to move or to try another profession. He says he never regretted the move. Previtt began playing at the performing spaces and lofts around downtown New York with such experimental musicians as John Zorn, Elliot Sharp, and Wayne Horvitz. While continuing to play with them, he's also performed in a variety of musical settings, from blues to folk and straight-ahead jazz, and he leads his own group. What sets Previtt apart from other young drummers is his versatility, his subtle playing, and his work as a composer. His new record is his first distributed by a major American record company. It's called Pushing the Envelope.
I guess I consider myself less and less of a drummer. You know, the more I compose, the more I get, I start wearing that coat. I get used to wearing it, you know.
You use some very dark voicings on your new album, combinations of French horn and tuba, both playing kind of dark, deep tones.
Yeah, that's me, dark and deep. I enjoy the French horn tenor sax combination very much. You know, I used to use trumpet, but I found that it was just too bright for the sound that I wanted. I really like that kind of dark, obscure sound. Who knows where it comes from?
I know you said that you were inspired by medieval music. How were you exposed to it?
I think in music school I was, and I really liked it, although I didn't do too well on the course, but as I remember. But I really liked the music. Maybe there's a correlation there. I started getting into it more. I like the emotional quality of it, really, is what I really like. I like the fact that the composers kind of hid themselves inside the music. They didn't... The music doesn't stand up and say, look at me, or the composer doesn't stand up and say, look at me, you know. It's kind of all hidden and obscure and dark, and I think that appealed to me very much.
Did you study composition?
No, I have never studied composition.
How come?
Well, number one, I never had really the opportunity to, and number two, I'm not quite sure if I believe it. I believe in studying composition. Certainly, I'm not saying that there aren't things people could show me that could possibly help me, but, I think there's something to be said for people kind of learning things and coming to things on the street or by chance, or things like of that nature. Sometimes it produces something, someone who thinks perhaps a little bit differently.
On your new album, you're really self-effacing as a drummer. There are long passages in which you don't even drum, you don't even play. And it's your composition that's heard.
I'm hiding.
Is there a composition on the album that you like best for your drumming, where you think your drumming is at its best?
You know, there probably is, but I've never really thought about it. If I thought about it for a minute, I could probably tell you. But it's just not important to me. Of course, drumming is important to me, but somehow in my own music, I want to get across the ensemble quality of it, and so that really is not important. I don't think of it as a drummer's music. I hope it's just music. And I hope no one can tell who wrote it, actually, in the band. I hope I've hidden myself well enough that's not an issue.
We'll be right back. start playing drums?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. And so I started playing it. I thought maybe, you know, girls would like me if I did. So I... to tell you the truth.
Well, actually, I remember one musician saying, I forget who the musician was, that it takes so long to pack up the drum set that they switched to tenor saxophone.
That was
so
Lester Young.
That was Lester Young, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that they can meet more girls. Yeah.
He had something there, I guess. But, you know, I was pretty young when I started, so, I wasn't following any burning artistic vision, you know. I mean, my family didn't even have a record player, you know. It wasn't exactly an artistic family, you know.
I'm interested in why you started playing jazz as opposed to rock, since most people of your age grew up listening to rock mm-hmm. and not jazz.
Well, because my development as a musician coincided exactly with the period of time where I think rock music was completely unlistenable, and that was in the 70s. And I had already been through a classic period of rock, and I had kind of grown up, and I wanted something more. And I started to hear jazz drummers and jazz musicians. I thought, wow, you know, these guys are amazing players. And I was naturally drawn to that just as a product of growth. And also the fact that I thought the rock music of that era was terribly unimaginative and awful, you know, that helped a lot also.
Did family and neighbors give you a hard time when you were still living at home with your parents and you wanted to play a lot or practice?
Yo, yeah, my father gave me a hard time. When he came home, I had to stop immediately. I mean, immediately. I saw the door open. I was in mid-flight with my right hand coming down the cymbal, and the hand would stop, you know. So, yeah, it wasn't exactly encouraged, you know. But, you know, it was something I really wanted to do, and it took me a year to convince them. That's another long story someday.
What's the story?
Well, I kind of made my first drum set out of peach baskets and garbage cans and whatnot. And I played with them for a year, actually, until I could save up enough money to buy a drum set, you see. And I had saved up half the money I needed, and one day my father discovered it in my drawer and said, "What is this $250 here?" You know? And I said, "Well, you know, I'm saving $5 a week for, you know, for." He said, okay, we'll buy you a drum set.
How old were you?
13.
So you had made this impromptu drum set yourself?
Yeah.
Did your parents...
I was in a band, too.
Playing that?
Well, until they got a gig, and then they fired me, of course.
I think that's pretty avant-garde, actually.
Well, if I would have kept that set, I probably would have been really famous today, you know? You know, this is, you know that guy in the village that plays the garbage can and, you know? Yeah, wow, he's...
Was there ever a period in your life where you felt, well, music's great, but when you grow up and become an adult, you have to have a more legitimate profession that will get you a salary each week?
Yeah, just last week I was thinking about that, actually. Oh, I don't know if you ever stopped thinking about that. That was, of course, much more on my mind when I was younger. You know, now I'm resigned to the fact that I'm a musician, and that's what I'm going to be. But it's not exactly an easy life. But it's what I have to do, I guess. You know, so there's really no question anymore.
Bobby Previtt's new album, Pushing the Envelope, is on the Gramavision record label.